Hey, be sure to tune in tonight, Sunday, on Coast to Coast AM, when Deborah Silverman was just 20 years old, she met an astrologer who changed her world forever. It was then that she realized the stars in her own world had aligned just right, and she had found her life's purpose. Silverman joins Lisa Garr to discuss her unique psychological spiritual model. In the second half, renowned spine surgeon Dr. David Hanscom describes how to conquer debilitating chronic pain, usually without surgery, using his groundbreaking approach, which focuses on an aspect of pain that today's medical establishment has largely ignored. That's tonight on Coast to Coast AM with guest host Lisa Garr. Back with more of my conversation with Deep Throat's lawyer John O'Connor when Coast to Coast AM continues. We're back with John O'Connor, Mark Felt's attorney, Deep Throat's attorney, and John's new book is Postgate. And before we get into Ben Bradley, I just wanted to kind of reset here. And one of Coast's listeners has emailed me, Miss M, and she wants you to, if you could, tell us what Watergate was really all about in one sentence. I know we talked about it previously, but if you could distill it to a sentence or two to explain to people who weren't around during Watergate what it was really all about.
Watergate was about out-of-town guests coming to the DNC, and when they wanted entertainment, there was a referral operation set up between the DNC, some personnel there, and the escort service down the street at the Columbia Plaza apartments. And the CIA was controlling that operation, was listening to the prostitutes, and they wanted to listen. Some White House people wanted to listen to the big shots. The CIA wanted to gain legitimacy for an otherwise illegal prostitute taping operation. I hope that's quick enough.
Right. So it wasn't about spying. It wasn't about spying on the DNC to help the Republicans. It was a CIA honey trap to blackmail both Republicans and Democrats.
Well, that's right. That's right. And the CIA didn't care. They just wanted big shots in their grip. They could use it for extortion later on. They could use it, as they would say, for mind control experiments. There was a thought that you could control a subject if you knew enough about them sexually. But I think it was more about extortion. And the more big shots they had, the better. The other thing about this is the Watergate Lounge, the bar at the Watergate Hotel, was known as the high-class hooker haven of the city. So there was a lot of people from out of town that were the big shots. Sometimes they'd come from foreign countries, so forth. So they were also going to the girls down the street. This was just one referral source for the girls down the street, was the DNC.
So when you talk about the Washington Post covering up Watergate, it's that CIA involvement, that honey trap that they were running. I'm wondering about Ben Bradley, who was at that time the executive editor of the Washington Post. He obviously moved in CIA circles. A good friend of his, Cord Meyer, of course, who was the ex-husband of Mary Pinchot Meyer, who was a mistress of JFK. She was murdered in a park. It is alleged that Ben Bradley received a phone call about her murder before even the police. It's also alleged, I believe, that Ben Bradley was at Mary Pinchot Meyer's house or was given maybe a copy of her diary, pillow talk with JFK. She was threatening to go public with pillow talk. Is it possible that Ben Bradley was covering for the CIA because he was controlled by the CIA?
Well, I think the better view of it is that he was covering for the DNC. He was, as you point out, a likely alumnus of the CIA. He's never going to come out and admit it, but a likely alumnus back in his days as a foreign correspondent. You name a foreign correspondent who was not part of the CIA, at least an asset of the CIA. And, of course, it was convenient for him later on to have sources within the CIA because there's a lot of information that he gained. And he, as you point out, he knew everybody. But I think his motive, Richard, was not so much that the CIA controlled him as it was that he didn't want the DNC to be outed. His own lawyers, his own general counsel, Joseph Califano, who was a big guy in the LBJ cabinet, Joseph Califano was his general counsel for the Post and was the general counsel to the DNC. When the DNC sued the Republican Party over the burglary, who represented the DNC? Joseph Califano's firm, a very well-known firm, Williams, Connolly and Califano at the time, now Williams and Connolly. So he had no choice here as far as he was concerned. Yes, he liked the CIA and probably would protect them anyway, but he had to protect the DNC here. I think within the first week or two, probably the first few days after the burglary, everybody investigating this thing within the DNC knew what had happened, that they were doing this referral deal. And so everybody, of course, tried to hush it up.
Another major premise of the book is that the way that the Washington Post behaved during Watergate really was the blueprint for what we're seeing now, this advocacy journalism. Explain.
Well, in Watergate, I put it this way, Richard. Before Watergate, in what we would call investigative journalists today, were then known as muckrakers, which is a very unappealing term. It sort of shows that they were lower class, disreputable people. Real journalists didn't do this kind of stuff. Now we have Watergate, in which the Post has taken down a president. They've shown that they're political powers. So now all of a sudden they're respected as an unaccountable fourth branch of government. Think about that one. They are kingmakers or king slayers, as they wish to be. That's number one. Number two, if I'm a lawyer, and you get a lot of rewards for getting a scout. That's another thing Watergate taught us. You get Pulitzer Prizes, movies, books, millions of dollars if you slay a king, if you get a scalp. Now, I'm a lawyer. When I go into court, there's a judge there that's refereeing. There are opponents that are going to challenge everything I say. You can't lie to a jury because somebody's going to catch you on it if you wanted to. Now, on the other hand, if I came into court alone without a judge and without an opponent, and I could get an award from the jury, am I going to tell the jury everything? Human nature is that you're not. If you want that scalp, that big jury verdict, you're likely going to leave things on the cutting room floor. It's human nature. And that's what the Post did here. And so what we have now is we now have a press, a media that's incentivized to be political powers. They glory in the idea of being political powers. Their status has been enriched by Watergate, and they get more rewards because of it. And all they have to do is skew the facts. And so what we have today is we have journalism where people do not, the media does not tell all the facts. Now, there's some people that try to do it. I don't mean to paint that. I think talk radio, for example, is much better than the mainstream media. But you will find that when you're talking about, for instance, Russiagate or Ukrainegate, things are just covered up. For instance, the Bidens in Ukrainegate, when this thing breaks about Donald Trump talking to Zelensky in Ukraine, immediately, I was on a trip. I had to listen to watch CNN. There was a flash on the screen. There is no evidence that the Bidens did anything wrong in Ukraine. And that's the way it was played the rest of the time. Whereas, in fact, Hunter Biden, through the offices of his father, managed to get probably, at least for Hunter Biden's client, they made off with over $5 billion. That's with a B, $5 billion of United States money. Okay, for Hunter's clients. Now, he didn't get that much, but he was protected by his dad and John Kerry, who was also the father of Christopher Hines, who's Hunter Biden's partner. But yet, the public was not treated to these facts that are very important. The president is getting impeached, and you're not talking about the facts as to what happened. And about the only thing the Republicans said, which they're not very good narrative people, kept talking about, well, the prosecutor was fired because of Biden. That's part of the story. that it's a much richer story. And no one was ever told this. We went through a whole presidential impeachment, and nobody talks about Hunter Biden's client making off with billions that came from the United States. By the way, all of us who get those things taken out of our paycheck, that went to pay those guys over there. So they made off with it like as bandits, and yet we didn't even get that. Same with Russiagate, same thing. They're facts that just weren't told us. And now here we are in some of the most important decisions of our lifetime as public citizens as to what to think about Trump and Russia, what to think about Trump and Ukraine gate, and we're just not told the facts. We're a jury that's not getting the facts. And that really bothers me, Richard. And it's matters that mean so much to our security. Ukraine is a very important geopolitical place on the map. In World War One, Churchill saw that if you could go up the Dardanelles, up into the Black Sea and the Crimea, you could stop World War One. You could end it. Now, he didn't make it, but that's always been a very important strategic place. And yet, we have allowed today the president of Ukraine is a guy named Zelensky, and his patron is the biggest crook of all named Igor Kolomoisky. He made off with when he left Ukraine in 2016. Thanks, he had made off with $5.6 billion. And now, when Zelensky was elected, he's now back in Ukraine and hoping to get his bank back, which now has been the United States has put $5.6 billion back in. So we now have a situation in which our country's Western European security has been compromised by this corruption, and no one knows a thing about it if you're going to look at the mainstream media. I hope that's an answer there that will maybe I said a lot there, but that's what we've got.
No, it's all good. But so to give it some, I guess, perspective or context, if you were to compare, if we compare Watergate, the break-in, the cover-up, right, versus the recent FISA court scandal or the unmasking of General Flynn or the Mueller investigation into the Russian collusion that went for 22 months, even though we have now testimony that Bob Mueller knew after 6 months there was no there. How does Watergate compare to what people are now sort of generally calling Obamagate?
Well, Watergate is a grade school compared to this. It's nothing. It's a toy story. This is serious stuff that happened just recently. There was our intelligence agencies, the CIA and FBI, got together in 2015 in December and started cooking up, literally from nothing, tried to cook up a basis to wiretap Trump. They didn't have anything. Everyone says that the Russiagate case was opened July 31st, 2016. In fact, this interagency group with Peter Stroke and Comey and Brennan and British intelligence started at this in December of 2015. It took them 8 months to just figure out some way to even open an investigation. And that came about only because they implanted Western intelligence to try to hook up a beginning to this thing. And it was Western intelligence that came in to meet with George Papadopoulos to say, oh, by the way, you know, the Russians have got dirt on Hillary. And then they bring in a Russian an Australian guy to then have drinks with Papadopoulos and say, hey, I hear that the Russians have dirt on Hillary. Have you heard that? And Papadopoulos blurted out something in his drunken state. And that supposedly was their pretext for opening the investigation. But there was nothing to it. There was nothing. It was all hooked up by Western intelligence. Now what they do is they then go out, they get the Steele dossier, again, hooked up. They have Western intelligence, again, supplies the witnesses for the Steele dossier, which is phony. All the allegations were phony. And then they go to the court with these things. So think about this. You have intelligence agencies literally trying to affect a presidential election. They're trying to keep a guy from being elected. But then afterwards, they then try to really go through a soft coup by continuing the whole thing, figuring that if they can wiretap Trump and his campaign and then later his administration, they can find some crime someplace. They're going to find one, they thought. Now, they didn't. And so the whole deal with Flynn, let's go back to Flynn, Richard. When they are after Flynn, they're after Flynn because they know that Flynn will see through this whole Russian thing right away. So they had to get Flynn before Flynn got them. And so what they did is they entrapped Flynn into lying, really, and thinking that he was going to get prosecuted. So they scared him into lying about this conversation with Kislyak. But it was basically a Comey special. Comey did this before with Scooter Libby in the Plamegate scandal in 2003 or 2004. And he knows how to do it. He knows how to scare a guy into lying. So what he did is he set up a Flynn, and they got him. They sent him in to just casually talk to Flynn. They sent in McCabe. They didn't tell him about about everything they knew. They didn't tell him about the Russian investigation, and they trapped Flynn. So it's much deeper than anything that happened in Watergate. I'm not a big fan of what the White House did in Watergate. They technically committed crimes. They looked very thuggish and so forth and so on. But compared to this, it's nothing.
You know, what's also interesting is that Mark Felt, Deep Throat, that type of source, considered deep background, you weren't even supposed to quote him as an anonymous source. Again, the information that he relayed was simply deep background. Contrast that with today, where there's nothing but anonymous sources being quoted. What do you think of that?
Well, remember this. The reason he worked on deep background and refused to be quoted and played the game of not really giving Woodward a fish but telling him where to go to fish, he did that specifically so he wouldn't be giving Woodward classified information or confidential information from a file. That's one of the reasons I knew that Mark Felt was Deep Throat, because he was following Justice Department sort of principles. You can't give out information from your cases. Now, contrast that with today. Brennan, Clapper, Comey, McCabe, they're leaking like sieves with direct classified information. Nobody seems to even mind that the Ukraine gate came as a result of leaking classified information. A call between a president of one country and the president of another country, and all of a sudden we see it on TV? What's this about? So today people are very blasé about leaking confidential classified information. Felt was very, very disciplined about not doing so.
All right, we'll take a time out, John. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines and take questions and comments from listeners. And here is Lee Oscar taking us into the break with Before the Rain, born in Copenhagen, Denmark, and a former member of the band War. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. And if you like what you're hearing tonight and you want to find out more about what I do and how you can listen to some of my other projects, just go to my website, strangeplanet.ca, strangeplanet.ca, and that's your portal to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, which airs Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern on Zoomer Radio here in Toronto. My podcast is also there, Conspiracy Unlimited, which drops 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. My YouTube channel, Strange Planet, is also linked up at the website. My Strange Planet merch shop. It's all there, strangeplanet.ca, and if you scroll down to the bottom and click on Inner Sanctum, you can register right there for my free monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum. Again, it's all right there at strangeplanet.ca. Back to more of my conversation and your questions and comments for Deep Throat's lawyer, John O'Connor, when Coast to Coast AM continues. Postgate, how the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. Author, attorney John O'Connor here with us on Coast to Coast. Before we go to the calls, John, how do people get a copy of the book, Postgate?
Well, I would either go to Amazon.com or to my site for the book called PostgateBook.com, and you can read all the reviews, some of the other stuff I've written about Ukraine Gate and Russia Gate as related to Watergate, and either the site would do it.
All right, let's go to the phones. On the wild card line, Mark is in the Granite State, New Hampshire. Mark, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning, gentlemen. Excellent show. I actually want to bring up like three things. Is the body of the Stevens body, Bart Brackett, of the United States yet? Stevens from the Middle East. Back in the 70s, Nick Begich's father was murdered in a plane crash. They found bullets in the back of his head. He was going to testify in front of Congress. You know, all the bloodshed, all the murder, it just doesn't end. You know, when there's not going to be any indictments or prosecutions in this Barr investigation, I guarantee you none of them are going to go to prison. They'll do a stand down in every major city. Is going to be nuked in this country. I guarantee you, you're going to see that in your lifetime. You know, it's just unfortunate. You know, they're going to turn up the fire in hell for these people for what they've done. And the American people always have to pay for it. You know, it just doesn't end. And thank you for your research, John.
Sure.
And you're a great host.
Let me give you two comments there. Great thoughts. Number
you,
one, I think Barr will indict some people. And I think he's got enough, and I think he's closing in. So do not despair. And yes, I think if you read my book, you'll see that there were some lives threatened and perhaps taken in Watergate as the CIA tried to prevent exposure. So it'll be really interesting for you. I'd love your comments once you read the book, because you'll see a lot about Watergate that no one's ever talked about. But thank you for that. Those are good comments.
Yes. John, Mark had on the phone log here, it indicated he also wanted to mention Hale Boggs, of course, who was one of the dissenting voices on the Warren Commission, and he died in a mysterious a plane crash. We had Senator Paul
Wellstone.
I'm sorry,
Richard, say that again.
Mark was also going to mention Hale Boggs, who was one of the dissenting voices on the Warren Commission, who died in a mysterious plane crash. Also, Paul Wellstone. I'm just wondering, you know, we talked about Dorothy Hunt. Do you care to sort of delve into that, you know, the plane crash as a political assassination tool?
Well, you know, I wonder about the Dorothy Hunt thing very much so. There were some oddities about it. You know, the pilot had a 3.9 level of cyanide, and normally if you breathe in cyanide and you die from breathing it in, it stops registering at 1.0, and the measure was 3.9. There was talk about a guy on board that might have done some things to keep the spoilers from being brought up. There was talk about a hole in the altimeter. You don't know. And I don't want to say anything other than if the CIA didn't cause the crash, they were very lucky that the crash happened. That's all I can say. People have speculated about it, and frankly, without the evidence, we'll never know.
When you see what's happening today, with the leaking of documents and, you know, the Russia hoax and the Ukraine hoax and so forth, would you describe what's happening as a soft coup, and does it meet the standard of sedition?
Well, I don't think it meets the standard of sedition. However, it is a soft coup. I mean, think about it. Trump has been in office, 3.5 years? And essentially, his administration has been run by the opposition. Rod Rosenstein is a holdover Obama guy. Then he laterals the investigation of Mueller, and a bunch of Democrats are after Trump. There's an awful lot here. Then you have Brennan and Comey, and then they're wiretapping him, and they're starting these phony investigations. And then we have impeachment. So essentially, all of this was hooked up by the intelligence agencies. And we've had a president that was elected, whether you like him or not, and he hasn't been able to really function fully as a president. And we have a tremendously divided country, more so than we should be divided. We're always going to have some political divisions, but this has been spectacularly divisive, and there hasn't been a moment's rest since the guy's been elected. So it's really sort of sad, but that's what's going on. I think it was a soft coup, and hey, it may end up working if he doesn't get reelected. It's, and he hasn't really had the full trust when something like this terrible George Floyd thing happens, or the COVID thing. The country has been so divided that when we meet a unified country, we don't have it. And everything is politicized, and it really hurts all of us. I don't care. I mean, I did not vote for Obama, but I respected him as the president, and we all had to back him. We had to hope for him doing the best. But I don't think that's really happening now. So I think our country has really gone down a lot as a result of this intelligence agency coup.
Do you fear, as I do, that going forward, this is going to be the new normal operating procedure, that if you don't like the outcome of an election, you try to impeach, you leak, you investigate, and whether whoever's the occupant of the White House, Democrat or Republican, this is going to be the way that things are done going forward?
Well, I hope not, and I don't think – I'll say this. Whether you like or hate the Republicans, I happen to think they're not very good at telling narratives, but I don't think the Republicans have a minute to do this. They have trouble keeping up right now, so I don't think they're going to do the same thing. They play a different game, and I don't think you'll find, for instance, during Obama's term, did you find anything? I mean, Obama said he had the most scandal-free administration in history. To a certain extent, he was right, because the media didn't say there was any scandals. So did the Republicans hook up anything there? No, they didn't even follow up on the things that probably were scandalous. I mean, what kind of investigation did we have in the giving away 20% of our uranium? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. I'm not sure.
Right, fast and furious.
Fast and furious, then you have Benghazi. And all that, and yet you don't get answers. The IRS scandal, nobody ever really answered who came up with all that, who came up with the directions. You think Lois Lerner did it on her own, just popped up one day and said, I think I'll slow walk all the conservatives. So I'm not so sure that everything is equal and opposite here. You can criticize the Republicans for a number of things, but one of them is not this. They're not very good at it, and you notice it's always been it's almost always been the Democrats getting the Republicans now. Bill Clinton stepped into it a little bit, but everybody, the media, really rallied to his side, and that went nowhere.
All right, let's go west of the Rockies. Bill is in Los Angeles this morning. Bill, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Richard and John. John, I'd just like to say you're a breath of fresh air, particularly – your objectivity and your historical precision. I'm a former, I'm a Columbia University J School grad, class of '86, and I feel that you're a kindred spirit to what I saw in mainstream journalism. Even back in the '80s, it was morphing into this partisan advocacy junk that by what's going on today would have horrified the people even at Columbia University back in the '80s. And specific to that, or in relation to Columbia, Fred Friendly, the former CBS News president, told us when someone asked him, who do you think Deep Throat is? Mr. Friendly said, I don't think there is a Deep Throat.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Well, several people thought that, and, or that it was a composite. And I knew differently. I mean, I could see who it was and so forth. Even when we came out with the story in Vanity Fair, there were people going on TV to say why we didn't have the right guy. But anyway, at a certain point, the Post needed to sell papers, so they finally admitted it. There's a lot of yelling and screaming in their conference room, which I think you'd find amusing, as Woodward and Bernstein wanted to keep their mouth shut. The Post said, no, we're losing money every day. We don't publish. So they finally confirmed. But until they confirmed, there was an awful lot of speculation that Mark Felt was not Deep Throat. But you're right. Standards of journalism today are just so shoddy, and it all started when this Watergate stuff happened. So thank you for your comments. That's very refreshing.
Thank you, Bill. Let's go wild card line again, and Mike is in Denver. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, good morning, Richard. Thank you so much for taking my call, and it's great to talk to you again. Hope you're doing, you know, good under the circumstances. John, a big fan of your work. Thank you for your insight into Watergate and your presentation tonight. Comment and a question. So it's interesting how Watergate affected the course of history in the sense that this single event was kind of used as somewhat of a platform for the Democratic Party and affected the elections after Gerald Ford, in the sense of most of the political analysts not giving Jimmy Carter much of a chance of winning the presidency. And he did. So my question for you is, what do you think the long-term effects on the Republican Party resulting from Watergate are? Thank you.
Well, that's interesting. If you didn't have Watergate, I think the Republican Party probably would have been a little more moderate. Richard Nixon was not really that conservative. And what Watergate effectively did was, I think it polarized the country a little more. Remember, Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy were very close politically when they ran in 60. But then what happens is Watergate begat Jimmy Carter, which in turn begat Ronald Reagan. And now, on the other side of the fence, you find the Democrats going wild toward the left. I think Carter started that. Maybe McGovern started it. But I do think that one effect here is a polarized party system. And I think, for whatever reason, I think I'm very scared of the progressive, some progressive ideas that are out there now. And you wonder how much the country is going to buy them. But they're pretty far out there.
What needs to be done, John, in your estimation, to get the FBI cleaned up, to get the CIA cleaned up, the State Department for that matter? What needs to be done?
Well, remember, the press rightly says that they should hold people accountable. Let's hold everybody accountable, and let's shame, as it were, let's shame the media into telling all the facts. That's really what we need. The founders of our country knew that there would always be toxic factionalism. There would always be mobocracy. As James Madison said, it's like air to a fire. Liberty is to factionalism. But what was going to be the remedy? A very vibrant media, free press. But what's happened is, and they were going to remedy factionalism by telling all the facts. Now we have a media that is not telling all the facts. So they not only don't remedy factionalism, they actually cause factionalism and pour fuel onto the fire. And so the citizenry has to speak out and really shame the media into telling both sides. And I don't know how that can come about, but the more we talk about it, the better off we are. And we all have to say, media, you've got to do a better job.
Well, the public's perception of the media, I don't think it's ever been lower. I mean, it seems almost too late because they just seem to be doubling down on, you know, their mistakes, and they refuse to retract and so forth. Is it too late?
Well, it might be, and here's why it might be too late. They have developed an audience. They have developed an audience that needs their own red meat of, you know, evil Republicanism or whatever it is that they're selling on CNN and MSNBC, where you don't have a conservative voice on either one. You don't have both sides. And now you've developed an audience that needs that. And now are you going to yank that product from them now, having developed a taste and an appetite in your audience for these things? Are you now going to say, okay, let's now have on at least a third of our guests should be conservative? It's going to be hard to do it. The only way to, I suppose, for it to happen is if ratings got lower and lower for MSNBC and CNN. It may not happen. But I think hopefully the market will do something here. When I say the market for news will demand it. But, I'm a little bit pessimistic.
And what about the FBI? Does it need to be essentially blown up and start from scratch?
No, I don't think so. I think that there are wonderful people in the FBI. They have a very good organization. Comey abused the FBI by getting kindred spirits up in his little group, very politically minded guys, but very atypical of the FBI. So I think Christopher Wray will do a decent job of righting the ship, and I think with Barr's coming indictments, I think the message will be sent. And I think there are most people in the FBI are ashamed of what Comey and McCabe did, and Peter Strzok. They see that as really being bad news. And so I think that institution is still one of our finest institutions. And we cut off the head, so the fish isn't rotting anymore. Comey was terrible, and he abused his position, but he's gone. And so I think things will be good there. It's going to be a little harder to rein in the CIA, and I don't know what you do about that, other than perhaps having another form of inspector general on things like unmasking and sort of watching over them a little closer as to this kind of stuff that they're doing. That kind of reform might help. We need intelligence agencies, so I suppose we have to take a little bit of the bad with the good, but I think we can improve the CIA a little bit. I think the FBI is going to be fine.
Postgate, how the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. John O'Connor, thank you so much for hanging out for 2 hours. I appreciate it.
Hey, Richard, it's been a blast. Good talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you. All right, that's it. I am done. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Sean Latasseur, Chris Burrows, Michael Cozio, and Donna Walker. And in Brantford, Ontario, Scott Guitar Flicks. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time. So long for now.